Now we are now in chapter 14, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Chapter 14, verse 21.
Page
150. Oh, thank you. 150. Reverend Miriam. Okay. Page 150. Now we turn our attention. Last week we discussed Yerobam, and we discussed what the prophet said would happen to him. And he died, right? He died okay, but what's going to happen to the rest of his descendants? Right.
So these prophecies were really, they were not immediate.
Nope. What prophecy, what destructive prophecy is immediate?
Well,
yeah, he said, "Oh, Arba'im Yom." He gave a time limit, 40 days. That itself wasn't immediate. What's the purpose of a prophecy? God does not want bad things to happen. What?
He wants them to do tshuva.
Right, yeah, I mean, he wants them to do tshuva. And you see time and time again, this is going to be a very interesting scene in, we don't want to close the door, this is going to be an interesting scene in Sefer Melachim, and we see this over and over again. God, you know, he's a pretty compassionate God, you know? Incredibly compassionate. To the Jewish people, time and time again, they abandon him, they worship idols, they reject God, time, and he says, "I'm going to smite you," and he doesn't smite them, and time again, more and more and more chances. You don't think that that's compassionate?
We see how strict the judgment is.
Yeah, well, what's he saying? He's saying, because, first of all, it's not because you spoke Lashon Hara, and I'm not looking to minimize Lashon Hara, but you created other gods, you forced the Jewish people to worship other gods instead of me, and prevented them from coming to my Beis HaMikdash. And he says, "I will destroy you because of that." And what did your Rebbe say? What's your Rebbe supposed to say?
"Sorry, we'll go back."
Right, we'll go back. I made a mistake, you're right. And what does Yerobam say? "Well, you know, you have your opinion, I have my opinion, and God has his opinion." So what's God supposed to... What?
But Hashem took away the option from him.
Where? What does he say he took away the option from him? All it says is, it's going to be bad. God will smite Israel, etc., etc. Right? When God says bad things are going to happen, that's always conditional. The Jewish people can... Because what did Yonah say? Right? In 40 days. Did it happen?
No.
So was he a false prophet?
No.
The implication, the obvious understanding is, if you continue in the way, in this evil way, if you continue in this behavior, right, then God will punish you. And that's... And we're going to see... We're not going to see it, but in Melachim Bet, that's a very strong message, especially with the story of Chizkiyah. Right, when the Navi comes in and says, "It's over for you, you're done, forget it," and the king turns to him and says,
"Sorry.
Ain't no such thing as done. There's always tshuva."
Yeah.
That's a chumash.
He's taking the wrong thing.
Oh.
Yeah, take one with the white dot. With the white dot.
Right here.
Yeah,
right here
to you. Okay, so now we turn our attention from Yerobam, and a very good example of this, of that situation is going to be today. Is Rechavam himself, we're going to see. Not in the Navi, but we'll see if there's more than meets the eye. Rechavam and Shlomo, we're on chapter 14, Pasuk Chafal, page 150. Rechavam and Shlomo, Melach B'Yuda. Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, was king in Yehuda. Men Arba'im V'achat Shana Rechavam B'Malko. He was 41 years old when he became king. U'Shva'aseh Shana Melach B'Yushalayim. And he was 17 years king in Yerushalayim. Ha'ir asher bachar Hashem la'asum et shemo sham, because Shivtei Yisrael, the city which God chose to place his name there, v'shem imo Na'ama ha'amonit. His mother's name was Na'ama from Ammon. What does that tell us?
He's a convert.
A convert. A
quasi-convert.
Pseudo-convert. What does that tell us in general, though? What do you think? What information does that give us?
He followed her.
Right, he was an idolater. That's exactly what the Mepharshim say. That this tells us that she was a sort of idolatress. He was idolatrous, and he followed in her ways. In a second, look at Mitzudat David on Chafal v'Shem Mimo. Balomar comes to tell you, Shehine Nidmel Mekor Asher Chotzeid Minena. Right, that he's comparable to the foundation from which he came. Ki Mo Haita Bat Ovdei Kachavim Umazalot. Right, his mother was an idol worshiper. So if your mother's an idol worshiper and your father looks the other way, what are the odds about you? You're also going to be an idol worshiper. I mean, really, it's unbelievable. Hard for us to imagine.
Shlomo's son,
David's grandson. You know, it's very sad. Very tragic. Okay. Vayashihuda hara be'enei Hashem. And Yehuda obviously followed it negatively, badly, did evil in the eyes of God. Vayikanu oto mikol asher asu avotav. They made God jealous. They made God mad with all the evil, all the terrible deeds that they did, that they sinned. They also built bamot, altars, matzevot, stones, asherim, asherim, what kind of asherah trees are idolatrous trees? Al kol givad givoha, on every high mountain, the hill. The tachat kol eitz ra'anan, under every leafy tree, meaning it was pervasive. It was widespread, almost as like Starbucks. Begam. Well, you don't like Starbucks. Begam kadesh haya ba'aretz. Kadesh. What is kadesh?
Holy.
Holy. Ah, holy. New member of the mishpacha.
Better late than never.
We always get the cutest ones. Holy moly. What's a kadesh? What's a kadesh? Kedusha. What's kedusha?
Holiness.
So it can either be, it either refers to holiness or the opposite of holiness. It's the opposite. Kedusha is holiness. Kadesha is a harlot.
Oh.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And that, by the way, it is a play on words, and a student asked, they ask me this all the time. Like, why do you have to be, why is the Torah so meticulous about human sexuality? Why is it so, the Torah so demanding about human sexuality? Because you talk to them sometimes about the laws of negia, like prohibited, touching and the yichud. And the Torah is extremely meticulous about areas of human sexuality. How's this going? Okay? Areas of human sexuality. And so I explained to them that the greater the level of kedusha, the greater the level of holiness, the greater the potential for the potential desecration of that holy thing. For example, if I were to take a Tom Clancy book and throw it on the ground and stomp on it, so you would say you're a little nuts, but have I desecrated Tom Clancy in any way?
No.
But if I were to take this Navi or this Chumash and throw it on the ground and stomp on it, the same action, similar book, right? A book. No, but that's an act of desecration. So the greater the potential for holiness, the greater the potential for desecration, which is the same thing about human sexuality. The greater the human sexuality has the potential for the ultimate levels of holiness, and for that reason, the same acts, lahavdil, done the same way, right, done outside of the sanctuary of sanctity, they become kedusha. And that's what you learn from the play on words of that. That's why it shares the same root. Yeah, girl, you had a comment? No?
What?
I saw you had a comment. Okay.
No, I had it.
Oh, David, I'm sorry. Yeah, I knew somebody had a comment.
Huh?
I knew someone had a comment.
Yeah.
Who?
Ruth. And the other one is Naama.
I never saw that. I never heard of that.
Yeah, the Lord, what he did and said.
Yeah. Naamah Ha'amonit, it was one of the two?
Yeah, Ruth, I believe Naamah Ha'amonit.
I don't know, could be. I'm not going to say no. That's what Mitzvah David says. I don't know. Okay. But we do see what her son does.
Yeah, the son, but about she was righteous lady.
You find it for me. I want to see it. Okay. Okay. I'm not saying it's wrong. Megam kadesh hayaba aretz. It was also, by the way, just so you understand, idolatry. Right, I did not speak about this on Shabbos, but I really never got to it. But idolatry, in effect, was also a very hedonistic act. It wasn't just worship of, it was paganism. If you think about it, paganism manifests itself in many ways, in different ways, and it involved the most heinous and the most despicable of physical acts. So, to understand that idolatry, when you talk about different types of idolatry, it was the full gamut of human experience, as we'll see. So that's what it means when it says "v'gam kadesh ha'aretz." There were different types of idolatry. Okay, asu kachol hato'avot hagoyim asher arish Hashem mipnei bnei Yisrael. So the Jewish people began to do all these terrible abominations that the nations of the that God had kicked out of Eretz Yisrael had previously practiced. And by the way, God kicked them out. Did they fully kick them out? No, they did not. They never fully kicked them out. I mean, only Shlomo really succeeded in driving out the and maintaining full control over the land. And it's very hard to know to what degree the Jewish people really rooted out, even in the times of David and Shlomo, you know, to what degree they were able to totally root out the, you know, embedded behavior. You know, the Plishtim, they were literally entrenched. I mean, you know, up until David's times, they were extremely entrenched in Jewish areas. You know, it was like it is today. You had a town of Plishtim and a town of Jews. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, there was no separation. So how do you create cultural separation? How do you establish that? It's not such a simple matter. Okay. In his fifth year, Allah Shishak Melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim. Shishak, the king of Egypt, he came up and attacked Jerusalem. Vayikach et otzrot Beit Hashem, v'et otzrot Beit HaMelech, v'et hakol lakach. Remember all that money that Shlomo had accumulated in his incredible monarchy? Remember all that money? Gone. Right? Came and took it all. Et hakol lakach. Vayikach et kol magine hazahav asher asas lemo. Shlomo even made, remember those golden shields? Like his men didn't carry, you know, iron shields. He carried gold shields. Right? They were, it was impressive things for the most time. So what did Rechavam do? Vayas ha-melech Rechavam tachtam magine nechoshet. So Rechavam, he couldn't make new gold shields, so what did he make? Copper shields. V'hizkid al yad sharei ha-rasim ha-shomrim petach Beit HaMelech. And he put them in the hands of the ministers, right, who were in charge of the royal palace, the entrance. V'hi midei bo ha-melech Beit Hashem. When the king would go from his house to the Beit HaMikdash, yisa'um ha-rasim, they would pick them up. V'shivum alta ha-rasim. So whenever, like, the Chavim would come out, they'd say, king's coming out, go get the kosher shields. Right, they would go get the nice shields. Hello, here's your incredible guide, right? Here's a symbol of your wealth and power, and as soon as he was away, what would they do? Go put him back.
Can we go back for a second?
Now, before you go back, just the whole imagery of the shields is fascinating. What does it tell you that the king of Egypt came and took away his gold shields, so he had copper shields made instead?
They were just for show.
Of course they were just for show. Gold shields aren't really for fighting either.
Right.
That's why I said gold is heavy and not very strong. Right. So why does Rechavam have copper shields made up? What does it mean?
Keeping up appearance.
Right. What's he trying to keep up? Right. He has this image of the great monarchy of Solomon. Right. And we're following the footsteps of the great monarchy of Solomon.
It's a
pathetic facsimile thereof. Right, you think, you know, and like Shlomo had gold. Remember what the Nebi said about the money Shlomo had. He had so much money that people, like, it was just like all over the place. Money didn't mean anything. So Shlomo's men, when they had the gold, you know, it was like when they had the gold shields, when did they use the gold shields?
Ceremonial.
All the time. It wasn't like, you know, oh, we have to take out the copper shields and put them back in the vault when you're done. It's copper. You know what I mean? You know, it's, you know. Okay, I mean, it's a metal and everything, and they steal it now from you should know, by the way, a lot of people have their air conditioning stolen for the copper coils. That's a big problem in Michigan now. Anyway.
And thus the first use of the word copper for police officers.
Yeah?
Because they were protecting, right?
Oh, are you sure?
Really?
Oh, listen, Joe. It sounds like
you make that up?
No.
It comes from the copper pots that the Barbies used to wear.
Oh, I was getting all excited. So we see from here that Rechavam is trying to maintain something that's unmaintainable. But why is it unmaintainable? Why is Rechavam's monarchy, why is it unmaintainable?
Because it's corrupt.
Right. Because it's depraved. What he doesn't realize is he could have kept his gold. He could have kept the monarchy if only
he followed
what God said.
Right.
But instead, he'd rather, by the way, how many of us are like that? Right? God tells us to do one thing. We do something else. Things go bad. So we fool ourselves into thinking that it's really not my fault and it really shouldn't be better. Right? And we go on doing the same thing that we're doing, using copper shields instead of gold. Yeah, I'm sorry.
What is the, I mean, we just kind of glossed over very quickly. This king came and took all this. What does it mean? What does it mean?
And what did he do with it?
The king of Egypt came and stole all their money.
Under what circumstances?
Excellent questions. Yeah, it must have been some war of some sort. And he attacked them and he overcame them. Right?
But you don't hear about it.
Well, you don't hear about it here. Right. Why? Well, here's the bigger problem. What did God say would happen to Yerubbaal if he continued to sin?
To Yerubbaal?
Yeah. Yerubbaal, not Rehoboam. Yerubbaal, the king of Israel. What would happen to him?
They would all die.
He would die. His sons would die. They would all die. Right. What happens to Rehoboam?
I don't know. Supposed to read ahead.
What is it? There seems to be some inequity here, doesn't there? Yerubbaal, when he sins, he wiped out, total decimation. And Rehoboam?
We don't know yet.
Well, did anybody say, well, Rehoboam, you're going to get your... Now, by the way, why can't or won't God give him the same punishment as Yerubbaal? Right. He won't kill them all. Why? Because he owes David. Because God has a relationship with David HaMelech. And that's the beauty of being Jewish. That's our salvation. No matter how bad we get, God's still stuck with us. We have yichus, correct. I mean, it doesn't guarantee any individuals, per se, but it certainly helps on a communal level, on a national level, on a Jewish level. But there seems to be an inequity here. It doesn't make sense. It's not fair. Yerubbaal, the king of Israel, okay, he's bad, right? So he should get slammed. And what happens to Rehoboam? Why is that fair? Because he happens to have the Beis HaMikdash? Should be even worse, like we said. He has the Beis HaMikdash and he still has idolatry. Can you imagine such a thing? You know, we always say, like we envision this sort of utopian existence where there's a Beis HaMikdash and all the Jews worship God. They had it for like 40 years and then after that, you know, everybody starts worshiping on his own, whatever you want. Yeah, you worship to this God, I worship to that God. It's really kind of tragic. That was the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Tragic. So what happened? So of course I'm going to tell you what happened. Right? On your sheet. Page one. So that's number three. Okay. Do I have an extra one? Yes, there's a sheet over there.
Okay.
Thank you. Skip down. We don't need to read the whole thing, right? We don't need to read the whole thing. Yerubbaal, as we noted at the beginning, Yerubbaal starts off well. Remember, he's going to attack. And the Navi comes and tells him, don't attack. And what does Rehoboam do? He goes home. He does exactly what he's told. Skip down to Yud-Chet, verse 18. What? Verse 18.
How unusual.
For him to listen. Yeah, well. Vayikach lo Rehoboam Isha, so he decided to get married, at Machalat ben Yerimot ben David. Avihayel bat Eliav ben Yishai. Okay? He married Machalab, the daughter of Yerimot, the son of David, and Abichail, the daughter of Eliab, the son of Yishai. He stayed within the family. Oh. And these are good yichas.
It's a horrible name.
What?
Machalat.
Yeah, it's not such a good name. Vatele lo banim et Yerush, vet Shmarya, vet Zaham. Right? He married Yerush. Vacharea, and then, lakachat ma'acha bat Avshalom. Then he married Ma'acha, the son of, the daughter of Avshalom. Okay, he's staying in the family again. He loved her the most.
Oh my gosh.
18 wives and 60 concubines. Is that a lot?
Not as much as...
No. What number is that? That's the right... Well said. That's the right number. Right, so far, Rehoboam's doing well.
Don't even think about it.
Go ahead, Steve. Say it. I thought he was going to tell you,
no.
Don't worry.
No.
Yeah. Yes, you will. Vayamod. So he decided that Abiyah, he likes, you know, who gets to be the next king? The son of the favorite wife. That's just the way it is. And this guy did a good job, right? He dealt wisely, dispersed all his children throughout the districts, 45 cities, he gave them provisions, so after many wives. Very nice. But of course, as soon as things go good, what does Rechavam do? Azad v'torat Hashem b'chol Yisrael ima.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Yeah, everything is going well. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why do you're going on a good path? Why
right.
do you?
We are now. We are now. Let's forget Elliot Spitzer. We are now. If you follow the news, right? What's the big news of the week, of the month so far, and what will be the big news of the year? Forget that guy. Even more than the president in the eventual election,
yeah.
Even more important than who the president is, the big question is, will this economy get on track?
Oh yeah, that was changing.
Because I think so. Because the future of the United States as a power, you have to remember. What creates superpower status is the economy that drives it. Mm-hmm. You're not a superpower unless you have the money to build the defense, to project your power around the world, or wherever, to be able to back yourself up. That's what happened to the Soviet Union. It fell apart because communism was a failure. And what happened? How can the United States, the most powerful, wealthy nation in the world, be facing a terrible recession?
Greed.
That's right. That's the answer. It's never enough. Forget the CEOs. It's greed on everybody's level. It's pervasive. What happened to this country was banks said, well, if I lend you more money at greater risk, I'll get a greater return. At the same time, individuals say, if I borrow more money without knowing exactly how I'm going to pay you back, I'll be able to afford a bigger house than I should be able to. Nobody in this country has been living within their means. What happens when you live beyond your means? Sooner or later, the bubble is going to burst.
Simple economics. If your outflow exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall.
Correct. Your upkeep becomes your downfall. I like that. Yeah.
I'm very careful there.
So what happened to the Jewish people? The more successful you get, the easier it is to attribute your success to yourself, not to God. Right? You know, I'll just want to win the lottery. Yeah, if I want to win the lottery, all these problems would be solved. And we say that genuinely. But the answer is, I think it's harder to be a God-fearing person out of incredible well-being than it is to be out of need. Even if struggling is no picnic. But it's easier to have a relationship with God when you struggle than it is when you're not. It's a much greater challenge to be wealthy and to use your wealth for a good purpose because it gets to you. It becomes part of you. And anybody who knows, most wealthy people, they live in a different way. Mm-hmm. And not a good way. You know, because they get so involved in, I got this car, and I went on this vacation, and all this dumb narcissism, that who cares? But it becomes so self-absorbing. So what happened to Rechavam is exactly what it says. Vayiki achim achud ma Rechavam uches kato. The stronger he got, azav et terat Hashem, b'chol Yisrael imo. And it wasn't just the government. It's not the government. It's not the CEOs. It's not the leaders. It's everybody. Because it becomes, this pervasive attitude. We're invincible. We're successful. Nothing will ever go wrong. We don't have to be careful. We can keep doing crazy things and not have to worry about ramifications, except sooner or later, it always comes back to haunt you. So the real question in America is, are we catching ourselves in time? This time, I hope so, I think so. But it's very hard, as long as things are well, you think about it, America as a government, well, you know what our national debt is? $3 trillion, $4 trillion. You can't even fathom that amount of money. Right? At some point, someone's going to say, well, are you ever going to pay us back? No, of course not. So, but if you keep borrowing money, at some point, what happens? You know, but we don't, but nobody wants to hear, you know, imagine somebody ran for president and said, when I'm elected president, we're going to cut every program to the bone in order to pay down our debt. What would happen to that person?
He'd be impeached before he
gets. We'd never get elected. Never. Why? Because I want the good times to keep rolling. When you want the good times to keep rolling, sooner or later, you keep borrowing money, someone's going to ask you to pay up. It's a very, very frightening prospect. Very frightening prospect. You know, what kind of country are we leaving for our children? And I think that comes out of, you know, a simple, the challenge in life is to see the hand of God, not just when things are bad, but when things are good. When things are bad, it's easy to call out to God, or when you have a need and you desire, and I really need this, God, it's easy to call out to God. But when that thing finally comes, do you turn that into modim shmon esrei, say, modim, thank you, God. I saw your hand in that. Right? That's what it's supposed to be. That's such an important lesson. Because it's always easy to see the need, but it's not so easy to say thank you. Okay, and Mr. Shmuel, Zayhi b'shanah ha-chamishit, the Melech Rechavam. So in the fifth year, Alash Sheshach Melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim. Now it adds in the important words. Why does Sheshach come? Ki ma'alu b'Hashem, because they rebelled against God. So you say, where is this guy Sheshach? Why is he attacking? What do you think? Because in that fifth year, right, by that time, Sheshach came and attacked. Be'elef u'matayim rechev. 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen. The aim is for the Am Asher Bowim on Mitzrayim, Luvim, Suchiim, the Kushim. Without number, the Mitzrayim people came. The Luvim, the Suchiim, the Kushim. Right? He hired an army. You know, and poor Jerusalem is about to get slaughtered, decimated. What does Sheshach intend to do?
Take over.
Vayokod et arei hamitzirot asher liYehuda. Vayavar Yerushalayim. He fortified the cities which pertained to Yehuda and came to Yerushalayim. Verse 5. So then you wonder what happened to the story. There's more to the story. Yeah, Divrei Hayamim. I'm sorry, I should have told you. This is Divrei Hayamim chapter 11. Divrei Hayamim Bet. So very often in the Tanakh, if you want to try, especially in Shmuel Malachim specifically, you want to get a more background information, you can often look at Divrei Hayamim and see an alternative, additional, an embellished version of the story. And here we see exactly that. It's a very, very powerful. Usmayah Navi Baal Lechavam, Nisarei Yehuda Hashem Nasru Al Yerushalayim Mipnei Sheshach. So all the ministers of Yehuda, right? What happens when an enemy is approaching? What happens? All the cities that are on the perimeter, on the periphery of the country, come back. They fall back. Okay? Bayomer Lam, and so Usmayah Navi comes and says to them, Ko'amar Hashem, so saith the Lord, Atem azabtem oti, v'afani azabti etchem b'yad Sheshach. Right? You abandoned me, I'm going to abandon you. What's going to happen to all of you? You're all going to get killed. Exactly right. So, and that's the implication. And what happens, what is the prophet implicitly telling them?
Unless you repent.
What do they do? Rarely, no. Vayechanu sharei Yisrael v'hamelech vayomru tzadik Hashem. And they were humbled and they said, God is right. God is righteous. He is correct. Ubirot Hashem ti nichna'u. So when God saw that they really felt bad, they did some level of tshuva. It doesn't say they, you know, by the way, you ask me, is God compassionate or not? Does it say that they changed their ways? Does it say that they destroyed all the idols?
No.
Does it say that they got rid of all the Asherah trees?
No.
What does it say?
Not at this moment.
What does it say?
They recognize it.
So the God is righteous. God is correct. They were humbled.
Yeah, we did wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Dad.
They admit there was a problem.
Right.
The first.
So what does God say? As soon as he sees that, God says, fine. You guys were humbled. I won't destroy you. I forgive you.
Well, it doesn't say that either.
I'll give you almost an escape. God wanted Sheshach. He was going to let Sheshach come and destroy. But instead, for some reason, when you read the story, why does Sheshach come all the way and just steal the money? Normally, when a king brings armies up to attack and destroy, what does he do? He attacks and destroys. Takes hostages, plunders. That was the way of the world. Shishak did nothing of the sort. Shishak did nothing of the sort.
Thank you.
Why didn't he do it? So now you know why. Because the same reason that Shishak decided to come in the first place.
So you mean you just showed up with all these thousands and said, you know, just give this to gold and we'll go away?
Yes. By Ki Yuli La'avadim V'yedu Avodati V'avodat Mamlachot Ha'artzot. Okay, they will be for me, right, his servants. You may know my service and the service of the kingdom of the countries. Meaning, what does Shishak do? You can see his logic. He comes and attacks, and all the Jews say, don't attack us, we'll be your slaves. What's the point of killing us all? You could better do better by taxing us. Right, so you become, what does it mean that when, in the Purim story, that Ahasuerus was king over 127 countries? Do you really think that Ahasuerus had Persian and Median soldiers in 127 countries? No. You send soldiers, you say, either you subject yourself to us or we'll wipe you out. And they say, okay, how much you want? Fine, you know, and that's the end of that. So that's exactly what Shishak decided to do. What?
Extortion.
Protection.
Protection.
What do you mean? This is how empires were built until the beginning of the 20th century.
Except now it's the reverse. It's the little guy that threatens the big guy.
And then we pay them off. And we pay them off. Correct. Isn't it amazing? It's exactly the other way. And why?
Because
why is it different?
I'm trying to be nice.
Correct, because we won't destroy them. They take advantage of our morality. Okay. So what does he do? Vayashishak Melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim vayikach et otzot beit Hashem et otzot beit HaMelech et hakol lakach. He took it all. Vayikach et maginei hazahav asher asah Shlomo, and he took those gold shields that we talked about. Okay, look at Pasuk Yud Bet. Skip a little bit. I don't want to do the whole thing.
Before already.
What?
We took all this stuff before.
No, this is the same story.
What
is it? Okay. Ubihi chano. Okay, ubihi chano, and when he degraded himself, humbled himself, shav mimenu af Hashem, v'lo lahashchit bekala, v'gam b'Yehuda hayah devarim tovim. Like, God changed his mind. God sent a prophet. Is that what he did? Why doesn't God destroy Rechavam the same way God said he would destroy Rabbam? Because Rechavam at least admitted that he made a mistake. That he was wrong. Doesn't say he changed. Now, by the way, and that's a big difference to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a huge difference between saying, you know, no, Ribbono Shel Olam makes demands of me. I try, but sometimes I fail. Or saying, well, who does he think he is to make demands of me? I make my own decisions. Same act, by the way. But all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Right? Do we see God as God, or do we see ourselves as God? And that was the difference between Rechavam and Yerabam. And when you see God as God, so he punishes you, he's upset at you, he's angry at you, he sends you to your room. But he doesn't smite you. When you see yourself as God, God says, well, it's either going to be you or me. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be me. Okay, let's go back to the Navi. And as that explains, where are we on page 152? Pasuk Chafchet. The Yeter Midei Bo Amelech Beit Hashem. The Yeter Divei Rechavam Bechol Asher Asah. The rest of the stuff of Rechavam, everything else he did. Halohem Ktuvim Asher Divei Hayamim Melechei Yudah. It's written in the book of history of the kings of Judah. How old is he? Like 2 months?
7 weeks yesterday.
Right. Umelchama Haita Bein Rechavam Ubein Yerabam Kol Hayamim. Rechavam and Yerabam did not get along. Gee, there's a shock. Okay. Vayishkav, somebody listening is thinking that there's a baby in the room. Vayishkav Rechavam im Avotav. There is a baby, right. Vayishkav Rechavam im Avotav. Rechavam died. Vayikavre im Avotav b'ir David. He was buried. V'shem imo na'amah ha'almunit. Again.
He got to get buried.
God, as long as he subdued himself, he's okay. Vayimloch Aviyam b'no tachtav. So now look at your timeline. Okay, you should have a timeline sheet. Just so you see, right? See, there's on the right hand side is King Shlomo. Right, those are the Shmot, Malchut, Malchei Yehuda, the kings of Judah. And on the left-hand side of your chart are the years of Melchei Yisrael. You have the sheet?
Yes. Why did they repeat who his mother was?
I don't know. I knew somebody was going to ask me that. I don't know.
So Rehoboam was a king less time than Yerovam.
What?
Rehoboam was...
No, Mitzudah David says the reason why it's repeated his name was to show that till the end of his life, he still acted like his mother. And still, what did God do?
Left him alone.
Why? Because God is the Father that always wants his son to change his mind and come back. That's what God is. Yes, I'm sorry. Is something else?
No, I just said Rehoboam was king less time than Yerovam.
Yes, he died earlier. Look, so you see Shlomo, and then correspondingly Shlomo was nobody because there was only one king then. And then the split, okay? Yerovam lived for 21 and a half years. Rehoboam lived for 17 years. Okay? So now so since Yerovam is still alive, now we're going to go to chapter 15. And you can follow. Yes? He was 40. He was.
Yeah, so, like it says in the beginning, his advisors were.
Because he was 40 years old when he first got the job?
Yeah.
Oh, you acted like an impetuous youth. What? 40's
not that old.
40's not that old. I think it also depends on how you're treated and how you react to things. I don't know, good question. So you see during the 18th year of Yerovam, of course, see there during his 18th year Aviyam becomes king, right? We're still on Rehoboam's son Abia. Doesn't it help with the chart?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, it's a nice chart.
I'm just admiring his penmanship.
I think it's a font. I don't think he wrote it by hand,
but
it's got
to
be a font.
What's
that?
I thought his sons and grandsons.
No, Rehoboam's grandsons and grandsons are not going to die.
That's your
this is Rehoboam. You got to keep your head straight. You got to keep your. You got, look at the map, right? It's your Rehoboam on the left hand side.
I can't read.
The Hebrew?
With
the block. Okay. Okay, but it's the guy on the left hand side, his sons are all going to die. Okay. The numbers are the years of the reign, and the middle number is the year. The Jewish year. Okay? Alright. Shalosh Shanim Malach B'Yerushalayim. He was only king for 3 years. The same Imo Ma'acha Bat Avi Shalom. His mother's name was Ma'acha, the daughter of Avi Shalom. Not Av Shalom. Avi Shalom. Look at Radak. You also have Radak now again. Same Imo, two lines from the bottom. Same Imo Ma'acha Bat Avi Shalom. Yaki Isha Ra'a Haita. She's terrible. We'll see. Why is it mentioned the mother? Anytime they mention the mother,
no good.
Sorry. Okay. Vayelech pasagimu b'chol chatot aviv asher asalafanav. So he followed in his father's footsteps. V'lo yalev avo shaleinim Hashem elokav kilavav David aviv. And his heart was not with God the way his heart, the heart of his father. And it doesn't mean father here. What does aviv mean?
Grandfather.
And now the Navi sort of digresses. Ki leman David natan Hashem elokav lo nir v'yirushalayim. Right? Why does God let him keep going?
Because
he's David's grandson. Maybe somebody out of this stupid line of kings will get it right. He's David's great-grandson. Okay. Asher asa David et hayashar be'inei Hashem. Because David did the righteous in God's eyes. V'lo shar mikol asher tivo kol yimei chayav. He didn't do anything wrong his whole life. Rak midvar uriyachi.
No, just a father.
What do you mean?
Because it's not true.
What do you mean it's not true?
He didn't do anything wrong his whole life, David.
But he repented.
Now he still repented for Uriah too.
So it's ennobles it.
What do you think?
Yeah. It's the second time I remember we had that thing.
I think every other sin, he did sin, everybody sins. But there are repairable sins and irreparable sins.
Adultery is kind of a biggie,
isn't it?
No, it was David.
I mean, it was so bad.
It wasn't just the adultery. Forget the adultery.
Okay, it was a lot of slaughter.
I mean, all of the things that came out about it, even more than the act of adultery itself, was the desecration of the monarchy and the Chil Hashem that came from it. And we discussed... Yeah.
All the gold that he had that he wanted to use for the Beit HaMikdash, he didn't even use because it was painted gold. Remember, wasn't there something about that?
Painted shields.
Yeah,
No, because it was tainted gold, because God didn't want it, because...
Because the way diamonds
required... Well, he definitely made a mistake about the counting, you know what I'm saying? A lot of things.
So, I mean, that was a big deal. I wouldn't say he never did anything wrong. You can't say that about anybody, really.
Yeah.
I
think you have to ask yourself, like, not to minimize the small things, but, you know, the small things lead up to the big things.
Oh,
the small things definitely lead to the big things. In life, sure. Nobody becomes, I mean, somebody brought up Elias Spitzer. Somebody brought up Elias Spitzer before. You think the first thing he did was call this service?
Oh, of course not.
Right. Never works that way.
Well, first you have to think before you do anyway.
But I'm saying, everything starts off small.
No, what I'm saying is that the whole concept is nishka zei pashut.
You're being vague in your clarification.
I'm being vague.
I have no idea what you're saying.
It's not that easy to understand. First of all, we're not talking chimerical off the street here.
Yeah, so?
But, you know, it's just not that easy to understand. The whole machshava, how they got to do.
Well, what are you saying? You're trying to defend of it or not?
I'm saying it's not easy to understand, that's all.
I don't understand.
What?
See?
That's my point.
You don't understand me.
Prove it.
No, I don't understand what you're trying to say. What? You mean why he did what he did? Why he did what he did? Yeah, we're not going over that. But what Mrs. Barth is upset about is, how can you just say, Rak b'debar uriya achiti? He did other things. Is that what you're upset about?
Especially because we can go back to when we did, you know, when we were talking about Dovin, and in the Navi it talks about the things he did wrong.
Yes.
And the punishments he got, and, you know, so, and then here, you know, many prakim later would say, well, he didn't really do anything.
It's a contradiction.
But it's interesting. It doesn't bother me.
It's an interesting comment that the art school has to say.
What? The art school is going to spin it positive, I'm guaranteeing you. Right?
In a certain way.
Yes.
Just by saying that, you know, by mentioning both David's greatness and the serious flaw, this verse is a source of inspiration to everyone who's ever felt that his errors make it possible for him to move on and grow.
I just think it the other way. I think that you're right. W clearly did things wrong. I mean, everybody does things that are wrong. But, you know, when you look back at life, even if you look back at your year, I mean, hopefully everybody, Yom Kippur comes and you look back at your year. You know, I don't know. I mean, it would be great if everybody could remember every time they forgot to bench after they washed or said the wrong bracha. But, you know, when we're looking back and asking ourselves, what are the things that I need to change about this year? Usually they're either habits. You know, I need to stop being so ornery. I need to, you know, stop being so angry, or whatever you want to say. Or, you know, you have to look back and say, what are these things that I really have to take responsibility for? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's interesting why the counting is a pretty big one too. A lot of people got killed. Many people died because of that.
Because of what?
The counting. We got David counting.
Oh.
Okay. By Yishkav, so Aviyam lived 3 years. The Yeter Divrei Aviyam, the Chol Asher Asah, the rest of his life. All 3 of the years and everything he did, right? They're written in the book of Divrei Hayamim, meaning to the kings of Yehuda. Right? And he fought his father's good fight. Right? The battle continues. By the way, whenever it says, and the rest of the things in the glory and the might of the kingdom, what's the Navi really saying?
Yes.
Meaning?
Not important.
We don't have anything else to tell you that we really want you to know. Right, exactly. You know, and that, you'll notice this at the end of Megillat is there also. Mm-hmm. Right, and the rest of the story of Ahasuerus, v'chol tokvo v'gadlato, and halohem k'tuvim, if it weren't for Esther, we would never have heard of Ahasuerus.
Right.
Right, find me that book.
Right.
And he ain't going to do it. It was not Esrim in the 20th year, though you are Avam. Now go back at your chart, right? We're now in the 20th year. Aviyah dies. Who's next? He said he was so good. He thought he's not so good. Now, by the way, why did he die? What killed Asa? What kills Asa?
Asa.
What?
We just got
Asa. No, what kills Abiyah? Oh, Abia, I was reading. Yeah, I'm sorry. What kills Abia?
After three years, yes.
What? I don't know. I'll tell you honestly. Well, why does Rechavam get 17 years and Abia only gets 3 years? I think the answer is, to be honest with you, there's an element of nature. Right? What did he die from?
War.
People die from all kinds of things. It doesn't say he got killed in war. I would have said that. You know, I'm reading a book about Eisenhower now. And his wife, Mamie Eisenhower, she contracted meningitis. So you know what they did to you when you contracted meningitis in the 1920s? What did they do for you when you contracted bacterial meningitis in the 20s?
Quarantine?
Put you
in bed and say goodbye.
Nothing. It either took you or it didn't. There was no antibiotics.
Same with so many.
Pneumonia, strep, scarlet fever.
Plague.
People just, you know, so we shouldn't think that because somebody becomes, you know, the king, so that nature doesn't also take its course. It takes its toll. How come he had 3 years? So that's God's decision why he only gave him 3 years and he gave his father 17 years. But I don't know how much you can read into it.
How do you explain Yerubbaal, who never repented,
yeah,
22 years?
Right.
So.
Right. I think you can't, there's no linear equation where you can plug in the numbers and say, based on, he gets 17 years of life, of kingdom. And there's no way to know. Right? That's for God to figure out. Somebody wise once told me, this is a pasuk. Okay. So Asa ben Otatov, Ubisnat Esrim Liyava, Malach Yisrael, Malach Asa al Yehudah. So we look at the chart now, in the 20th year of Yerubbaal, you see, is the first year of Asa. Right, there you go, that's Asa. So it's clear, it's nice. Va'arba'im ba'achat shana malach miyushalayim, he was king for 41 years. I gotta get another chart. The same Imo, Ma'acha bat Avi Shalom. And his mother's name was Ma'acha bat Avi Shalom. Why don't we learn her name? Right. Hold on.
He didn't follow her.
There's a bigger problem with the same Imo.
Isn't it the same?
The same one as?
Yep.
We heard it before.
Correct. What? Right?
Didn't like it the first time.
No. Well, we gotta, so why? How can she be the same? How can? Well, there's two possibilities. Yeah, what are you thinking? You don't want to think it.
No.
Right.
I'd rather not.
Right. So the Mitzuda says that the reason why I called her mother was because she raised him. Because what happened to his father?
Oh, he died.
He died.
After 3 years of a reign.
Right, that make you feel better?
Yeah, so she was, yeah, queen, okay, mother.
She was, oh, right, queen mom. She was queen mom. Correct.
Queen mom.
Okay. Vayas Asa Hayasar Beinei Hashem Kedavid Aviv. Yay, right? Asa did the righteous thing in the eyes of God, like David. Vayaver Kedeshim in Aretz, he got rid of the Kedeshim, right? The abominations, the desecrations. Vayasar et kol ha-gilulim asher asu abotav, and he removed all the idols that his forefathers had made. Vagam yugimel et ma'acha imo, even his own mother. Vayashireha megvira, he reduced her from her,
oh,
from her, what's it called?
Queenship,
whatever.
Queen mom.
Asher asa mifletet la'asera, she made this mifletet, this whole like tapestry. She made a mifletet drawer, help me out here. Mifletet is I'm thinking a mat. It's a kind of mat, or like a kind of like a picture for the Asherah. Okay, so he got his mother, his very own mother, had made an abomination, this mifletet, right? This thing for the Asherah tree. Okay, by the way, our scroll says it's an obscene gesture, something like something obscene. So it's not a mat. I mean, where did I find it? I saw it in the Mefarshim. What did she make? Hold on 1 second. Yeah, his mother made a mifletet la Asherah. Let's see if I can find it. Yes, he made an obscene symbol, if I can find it.
For an image intended to inspire awe.
No, that's not what it was. Okay. Miflatzet, Kiditani Rav Yosef, Kemin Zichrut Asta La. Well, I can't even say it. I can't translate what it is. How do I say this in a mixed company? She had a male prosthesis that she would utilize for herself in her idolatrous worship.
Oh dear.
Right.
Okay. We get the picture.
I don't know why you didn't get the picture. Okay. You missed it. Ask it to Gemara. Now you start to understand about Azara?
Now
I'm beginning to worry about those. Yeah, okay. I knew I saw it somewhere. Okay. So he got rid of her little mifletzet. He got rid of that, thank God. Okay. By the way, if you think that's a shock, that's what they had. That's what it was. Don't kid yourself. Right, so go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art and look at the statues. Right? And you'll see all different kinds of, the statues are these erotic images of the god of fertility. What do you think the god of fertility is? How do you worship the god of fertility?
With a symbol.
No. Well, with a mifletzet. Yeah, yeah, right. That's how you worship the god of fertility. Why do you think people all love the god of fertility? The same reason why they love them, they love the god of fertility today. Okay? They just don't call it that, but they worship him all the same. Or her, whatever it is.
Pornography.
What? Yeah. Lo sharu. Right? But the one mistake he made was he didn't get rid of the shtiblach. What I mean the shtiblach, right? When you are not permitted, when the Beis HaMikdash was constructed, you were not permitted to offer your own personal sacrifices to God. And those are called the bamot. Right? People, instead of going to the Beis HaMikdash to worship God there, they offered sacrifices on the backyard, in the barbecue, Bama. Right? It was to God, but it was totally forbidden. Mm-hmm. Totally, totally forbidden. Right? Under severe punishment, and the king did not get rid of them. Right? Ad yidei kach, that much he could not get rid of. And that was a sinful thing. Rak levav asa haya shalim im Hashem kol yamav. Right? And he was complete with God all of his days. Okay, he brought all the consecrated goods of his fathers and his own consecrated goods to the house of Hashem, silver and gold and all different kinds of articles. Do we have time to finish? I don't think so. What time is it now?
2:10.
No, we'll finish it. We'll go through it quickly next week. Hopefully, I'll be able to cover more ground. But we'll next week, God willing, we'll finish this chapter, and then chapter 16, and then after that we'll be able to turn our attention to Eliyahu HaNavi. How many more weeks until the whatever that is? Yeah.
Four weeks.
So there's next week.
So it's four weeks.
Okay, so we'll be able to start that before Pesach, because one of those weeks, the last week probably. 2 weeks before, we'll do the pre-Pesach.
We're going to do a Pesach.
Of course, yeah, I got to do pre-Pesach.
No, we got to.